The question was asked, now that we see all kinds of natural disasters happening in the last few years, how are we supposed to view them? The tsunami, the earthquake, the tsunami that preceded that, the forest fires in LA, the floods, just look around the world. So first of all, we have to ask ourselves, is this new? Or is it just that the world is more connected? And so today we know about everything that's happening everywhere. Once upon a time, there was an earthquake. You didn't hear about it. We had an earthquake here in the north in Tzfat, and thousands of people died, and all Tzfat was demolished. And that happened at the beginning of the century. if you sit and start going over history, you're going to see that every year or two there are tremendous natural disasters somewhere in the world. It's the way of the world. So I'm not so sure that this past decade has been more eventful than the decade before it or the decade before that. There have always been...
they might be bigger.
Are they really bigger?
Well, this one is the biggest in Japan.
The biggest since they started recording earthquakes. Fine. And the biggest earthquake that hit Tzfat was 100 years ago. And the biggest tsunami was that hit over there. Where was it? That country a year or two ago.
Maybe.
Oh, not
maybe.
Maybe.
Was,
and then you had the biggest flood, and you had the biggest flood here in Israel in Bat Yam, and you had every so often you make records in a certain area. Meaning, you have earthquakes that don't make records, and then you have earthquakes that do make records. I'm not sure that you can say that what we're witnessing now is more catastrophic in the natural sense. I'm saying in a scientific sense than anything that preceded it. So that's firstly, I would just check that out. Check out the history. I mean, the blizzards that hit the world, and the blackouts that hit the world, and the volcanoes that hit the world. There are a myriad of things that can plague the world, and at one point it could be a plague of locusts, and at one point it's the mad cow disease, and at one point it's the bird flu, and another point it's the swine flu. And look at our history and see the different epidemics that hit the world. So there was the Black Plague, and historically, and there was polio, and there was pneumonia, and different times of history had different issues, and I'm not sure that we have to look into these as signs of who knows what's happening. What we do have to do, the Torah tells us, is that when things happen in the world, there are indications, that they are indications that we have to stop and realize that Hashem is sending a message to the world. Because I'll say you see a rainbow, so the rainbow tells us something, that the world deserved destruction, and Hashem isn't doing it. And unfortunately, we all know that we've seen rainbows the last few years. There is a message in what happens in the world, and Chazal tell us that on the Pasuk, the constellations are for signs. Yes, the different things that happen, the different diseases and the different natural disasters that occur are signs from heaven. A sign from heaven to what? For all of us to become better people. For all of us to figure out how to be better people. To stop and do some introspection and ask ourselves, how can I be a better person? How can I better the world? Chazal tell us, if you consider things coincidences, so then Hashem says, okay, so then I'll have to bring it closer to home so that you realize it's not a coincidence. What? The pasuk in the Tochacha, in the rebuke, in Parshas Bechukosai. Parshas Bechukosai, we're going to read it soon. In Tehui Mi Bikeri, if you treat me like I'm a coincidence, if you treat the things that I do in the world as coincidence, so then Balachti Machem, then I'll treat you like a coincidence, then I'll let coincidences take hold of the lives of the people. Yes, we do not say that whatever is happening in nature, it's natural. It's statistical. Every few years there are earthquakes, every few years there are tsunamis, every few years there are floods, every few years there are droughts. We don't say that. We do say that there is an intrinsic message here and that God's hand is running the show and we have to learn from it. I don't think that we have a prophet today, and I don't think we can start saying, well, in this and this year, and this and this time, we have to be prepared for the following to occur. We don't know. We don't have specific messages that tell us this is why. We don't know why there was this tremendous fire in the north this year. We don't know. So there was a tremendous fire, and we don't know why there were tremendous fires throughout LA for a number of years in the last decade. We don't know. So there were great forest fires. But what we do know is that each time it's supposed to instill in us the awe and the recognition that our lives are hanging by a thread, and we have to become better people, and we have to take messages from that. Now, how do we apply it specifically in our own lives? So that's each person's responsibility to think about it. But we have to be careful not to enter superstition and not to enter pagan ways and start thinking, the Mayans, they knew. Well, let's see, what did the Mayans exactly know? They worshipped the sun god? What did they know? They didn't know too much. So they had areas where they excelled. Okay, what did the Egyptians know? They worshipped the Nile. They worshipped the cow. So I'm going to learn from the Egyptians what's going to happen in 2012? Not me. The only thing I want to learn from it is what the stock market's going to do. Because if other people are going to learn from it, so I want to think and see how I can make money off that. Why shouldn't I take advantage? If the world thinks it's coming to an end, so then maybe people are going to buy gold or sell gold. So maybe I got to think how to make money off of it. But do I really think something's going to happen because some Egyptians many years ago said something? I don't think so. All that being said, there's room for discussion about the wisdom of ancient cultures and where they gleaned that wisdom from. How come they did know so much astronomy? How come they did know so many things? And that deserves a class unto itself. There are midrashim that discuss. There's a midrash that discusses that Hashem purposely made the first generations have longevity, as the Torah describes, that people lived to hundreds and hundreds of years, because Hashem said mankind is going to have to conquer nature, and the only way to conquer nature is if you have a long period of time to witness nature, to look at the constellations, look at the stars, and over the course of years be able to identify which plants and which species and which stars have which effects. If you ask me where that midrash is written, I have yet to see it in sight. Years ago I discussed this with Rabbi Leibel Resnick of Muncie, and he quoted to me this midrash. I discussed with him how are we to view, I was a teenager then, I was in high school, how are we to view the psukim that discussed the longevity of the earlier generations, and we don't see anything close to that today. So he quoted to me this midrash, but I don't know where it says it. I don't know where the midrash is written, but I'm telling you the address. You could call him, Rabbi Leibel Resnick in Muncie. You could call him and ask him where the midrash is written. But at any rate, we do have different sources that indicate that the ancient people, although they were pagans, they did have ways of accessing certain wisdoms, as it says in Maimonides and Nachmanides and in the Ran and in the Gemara also, that there were wisdoms that were lost. There were wisdoms that ancient generations had, and we no longer have them, certain understandings. Does that mean that that wisdom allowed them to foretell what natural disasters would happen next year? I doubt it. I wouldn't worry too much about that. I think that there are other areas where we can benefit. Like I said, practically, if the world thinks that there's wisdom to it, if the world thinks that something's going to happen, what did you say, December 22nd, 2012, something like that, So then we have to try and analyze and see how we can capitalize on that. You got to ask yourself, okay, who are the people who believe in this most? And what, where is that going to lead their actions? And then let's see, okay, so how can I benefit from that? Maybe you can capitalize on it by putting out teachers. I survived December 22nd, 2012. I don't know. I'm waiting to see if I'll survive. I don't know. You want to capitalize on it? Fine. But I wouldn't worry about it. I would worry about, am I keeping the 613 mitzvahs the way I should? I would worry about, where am I on the totem pole? Where does God put me on the totem pole? That I would worry about.
So you look at this as like, what do you call it, like tsaris? Okay, where you get like a skin disease, right? You did something wrong. Just like a modern day version of it, I guess.
Is what?
Fires, earthquakes, volcanoes, and all these signs, so to speak. You should be better people, rainbows, and all these things.
I think so. I think that's what Chazal tell us. And Chazal sometimes break it down, and that deserves a longer discussion. Chazal sometimes say, a solar eclipse should arouse us to do tshuva and this. A lunar eclipse should arouse us to do tshuva and that. Chazal do sometimes break it down, what different effects in nature, what messages we should take from them. But I think that deserves a much broader study. I don't think we can take that literally today. But more broadly, we can analyze our personal responsibility and our more global and more social responsibilities. Like the Talmud discusses, that sometimes an eclipse can happen because the justice system is not working the way it should. So let's think for a minute. Well, what are we doing about that? One of the lessons we can learn from the world today is that the people do have power to make change. And as strong as a government is, at the end of the day, the people do have a power to affect change within that government. And if something bothers us enough, then we can affect change in our own government. And when we think to ourselves about what needs to be bettered, it's not only as far as what do I have to perfect myself, but also where am I, as far as my responsibility to ensuring that society is more just and more fair and more kind. And there are many levels of responsibility that we each have. And we have to think about that as well. Chazal say that a more global occurrence can oftentimes have a more global message, a message that's more society-based than individual-based. So although we do analyze ourselves, we also analyze on a broader scale. Should I maybe find ways of protesting the UN? If I'm wasting my time on Facebook, why don't I also set up a group pointing out the atrocities of the UN? How could it be that Libya is sitting on the human rights board? I mean, how could it be? Maybe if I'm anyways there, why aren't I moving society in a certain direction? I could open a Facebook account under the name of Ahmed Tawil or something and present myself as an Egyptian Arab who's fighting for human rights and point out the human rights that the whole world needs, like having a normal human rights commission in the UN. I'm saying there are broad scales where a person has to stop and think to himself. There are broad things happening in the world, and maybe the world is responsible to be moving in a better direction, and each of us has a role in that.